Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, we talked about it on Friday, and that's these two special congressional elections that will be held tomorrow, Tuesday the 13th. One in New York's 9th Congressional District, one in Nevada's 2nd Congressional District. And at the time, we were saying that things are looking pretty darn good for the Republican looking to hold on that seat for the GOP in Nevada's 2nd District. And stunningly, the Republican in New York's 9th District, the seat resigned by Anthony Weiner a few months ago, is actually winnable. Well, we've got even more information to back that up today, and not exactly from a conservative source. It's Public Policy Polling, which is very much a liberal a polling firm, and they have Mark Amaday, the Republican nominee in Nevada, up 13 points, 50 to 37, which is obviously very comfortable, including the fact that he's at 50%. And then in New York 9, a six-point lead from a Democratic polling firm for Republican Bob Turner over the Democrat David Weprin. And what's even better news for conservatives here, their numbers for Obama, and this is a Brooklyn-Queens district, is absolutely dismal. His approval rating is 31% there. Over 55% disapprove of him. His handling of Israel is probably the biggest issue there. 30% of voters approve of how he's doing on that issue. 54% disapprove. So, Jim, not only are Democrats going to be extremely lucky to win the seat back, but Obama's got a huge problem there come next year, potentially, if things don't radically change for him.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, it's not like we think that, or at least I'm not projecting a Obama defeat in New York State in 2012. It's just kind of interesting. This is one of those districts that is scores Democrat plus five, but it's got a lot of what you might say culturally conservative voters. So this is one of those areas where I think it was Fred Dicker of New York Post was just on MSNBC a few moments ago, and he was saying that, look, if Obama loses a district like this, he's going to be in serious trouble across the country. Regarding public policy polling, I remember writing a piece at the beginning of last cycle that really kind of I just don't like their sampling in a lot of their states. I think their samples are too heavily of Democrats. I don't want to be the kind of guy who hates public policy polling when the news is bad for my side and loves them when the news is good. Having said that, they are a Democrat-affiliated firm. They do work for Democratic candidates. And so when they show Republicans surging where they should surge and winning where they shouldn't win, some would say kind of classify that as an admission against interest, or at the very least that they're, you know, that's not the result they want to report. And so we can take, you know, more likely to take that to the bank. Also worth noting that in New York's 9th district, Siena College does polls. They've had a pretty good record in these sorts of things, and they are seeing basically the same thing. So these are all conducted in the last couple of days. There's always a chance these things could shake out, but, you know, things are looking pretty good for Bob Turner. And I think it's psychologically, wins in both Nevada and New York could be a very big deal to Washington and to our politics heading into the 2012 season.
Martini number two, Jim, and the president, shockingly, has once again trotted out the exact same lines from his speech. And I don't know if this just annoys those of us who have to follow it as closely as we do, or just folks around the country are realizing that Obama basically has a few talking points on every issue, and of course they all eventually result in demagoguery. Well, he's done that again today as he actually is presenting a jobs bill, supposedly, surrounding himself by, of course, teachers and first responders and so forth, you know, the people who will all have jobs if, in fact, this comes through. Here's the president this morning in the Rose Garden.
There are some in Washington who'd rather settle our differences through politics and the elections than try to resolve them now. In fact, Joe and I, as we were walking out here, we were looking at, you know, one of the Washington newspapers and was quoting a Republican aide saying, I don't know why we'd want to cooperate with Obama right now. It's not good for our politics.
Oh, and there's more.
And the notion that there are folks who would say we're not going to try to do what's right for the American people because we don't think it's convenient for our politics. We've been seeing that too much around here.
Jim, a couple thoughts on this. First of all, I think they were licking their chops because they found one person who is an unnamed source who might possibly fall into their narrative. I love how they always refer to there are some, there are those in Washington without ever specifically identifying anyone. And then all of a sudden, because there's not much incentive to cooperate with Obama on policy or on politics, they just assume that Republicans agree that his proposals are good, but they just are opposing them out of politics and spite. So the president's still thinking quite highly of himself, apparently.
Let me be clear. Politico found an unnamed Republican aide who we are absolutely certain exists, who we are absolutely certain was not quoted out of context, saying that Republicans have bad motives for opposing my plan. Thus, the only reason anyone could ever have for proposing my plan is because they're bad people. It's now established. I'm sure that they, you know, he says Biden and he noticed. I'm sure they high-fived when they saw that. And so the lesson is Republican aide should not talk to Politico.
That's exactly right. It's a good rule of thumb in general, much less on this particular issue. But, you know, you'd think that the Democrats would be a little more receptive to folks like John Boehner saying, you know, there are some things in here worth considering. You have a lot of Republicans saying if the president were to actually ever deliver any of these trade agreements.
Pass it now, Greg. Pass it now. I should have passed it yesterday. I know I didn't submit it until today, but still. I said Thursday night, if we pass it now, we'll be hiring tomorrow. You don't need the bill to pass it. Just do a big show of hands. It's probably an indication of the week if I'm doing Obama impressions already.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, he's been chiding Republicans for weeks about not passing these trade agreements, which he's never introduced to the Hill, which is actually a formality that he does need to do but hasn't done it yet. And so, you know, Republicans are in favor of that. I think they're generally could probably go along with the extension of the payroll tax cut extension and some other things. And so they're like, you know, we can do some of this piecemeal. And Democrats are like, oh, no, it's all or nothing. So if none of it gets done, it's your fault for not going all the way. Well done.
The same folks who refuse to enact, you know, separate pieces of health care reform.
Right. Exactly right. Well, on to number three. Speaking of health care reform, it was not that long ago, Jim, that former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty was boldly speaking out on Fox News Sunday to Chris Wallace about how it was unthinkable that the man who could possibly lead the charge of repealing the president's health care monstrosity could be Mitt Romney. After all, the president in large part modeled his health care plan on what Romney did in Massachusetts. It's essentially Obamacare, so how can we have the last half of that merger be the next nominee for the Republican Party? Well, strange things happen on the way to disappointing finishes at the Iowa Ames straw poll and dropping out of the race for Tim Pawlenty, because today he's not only officially endorsing Mitt Romney and fully confident that he can issue those waivers and eventually repeal Obamacare, but he's now the national co-chair for the Romney campaign. It's quite a turn of events there for Tim Pawlenty.
Let me, let me be clear, since that's really Obama's line, but I am Tim Pawlenty and I am running for vice president. I had an interesting discussion with some folks who followed the Pawlenty campaign very closely, and basically they were kind of surprised by this. And I think we all kind of had this recognition that Tim Pawlenty went into this knowing that Mitt Romney was his big obstacle, that he had to beat Mitt Romney before he could get the Republican nomination, obviously did not succeed in that. And what was kind of striking about it was that in the end, he really couldn't draw the right kind of distinctions. We're seeing, you know, Perry overtake him. For a while, it looked like Bachman was going to, you know, be the primary conservative challenger to Romney. In the end, Pawlenty was Romney without the personal wealth, without the name ID, and perhaps without some of the establishment backing. But in the end, they were two establishment guys, and you could argue that the establishment wasn't big enough for the both of them, that whether he liked it or not. You might argue that Pawlenty played Romney to Bachman's Perry, you know, that there kind of always is this, you know, it always sooner or later comes down to two, and that Pawlenty was not able to be the kind of guy he wanted to be. So interesting. I also wonder if, because you obviously Ames knocked Pawlenty out, whether there's a little bit of not necessarily resentment, but a certain sense of, well, if the right didn't embrace me, then I guess I'm part of the establishment. And he's going to turn around and embrace the establishment. So we don't know what's going to happen. The only thing we can note is it was a pretty enthusiastic endorsement, Greg. But there was a funny word that was missing there. What was the word that you – oh, that's right. Obamacare or Romneycare or any mention of healthcare whatsoever, which I think is rather glaring. Those of us are all kind of scoffing at this. Well, yeah, whether this helps Romney, I don't know. I guess it kind of, you know, better to have it than to not have it. But I don't think Pawlenty really is a key decider in the remainder of the nomination.
No.
But if he's got, you know, maybe he ends up in a Romney cabinet someday, and maybe that'll make him happy. So
yeah, that's about all.
Maybe he'll be on HHS.
That's about all he can hope for, I think, at this point. If he wasn't willing to say Obamacare the very next day in a debate, he's probably not going to mention it now that he's national co-chair. Just a hunch on that. But we'll see if the folks who lined up for him at the Iowa straw poll, which aren't that many, end up siding with Romney when it comes time for the caucus vote. So, Jim, great start to the week. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.